The Godcast with Josh Fritz, episode 96. Love is the only way.
The Godcast with Josh Fritz, where the scripture is honored, the lost are warned, the saints are fortified, false teachers are exposed, and the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Here's your host, Josh Fritz.
Welcome to this edition of the Godcast with Josh Fritz. This is episode 96. Episode 96, I am live on a Sunday evening in my home. How are you guys all doing? Thank you for joining me. I know some of you will be joining in a little bit later, and you'll be watching from wherever you are. Hopefully you had a good Lord's Day. You fellowshipped with your local church. You worshiped the Lord. You gathered with the saints. You bore up under each other's burdens. You got to know what was going on in everyone's life. You took in a sermon. You studied the scripture. You spent time with the saints, which is great, which is always a good thing to do. It's been a while for me since I had a podcast, and I want to start off with some housekeeping, and this is important housekeeping. I released two episodes last week and regarding a topic on which I won't discuss right now because it's ongoing. So for those of you that know about it, I'm not going to go into any detail. I took them down at the behest of others had felt it was wrong for me to post them. And I don't necessarily take back what I said. I just think the timing of it and maybe the motive that I had was wrong. And that's what I'm sorry for. It's not helpful in the situation, and if you want to know what I'm talking about, you can always email me and I can talk to you about it, but I really want to move on from that right now and get into something that's going to help and edify everybody else. So I took those two posts down last week, and maybe at a way future date I'll revisit that idea. So without mentioning anything about that, that's what I want to get through now. I apologize for it. I think it was a poor taste of me to do that. So moving on from that, what I'm going to look at a couple things today, we're going to look at 1 John. We're going to read some of the scripture. I'm going to read a lot of it, actually. But what we're really going to do, and what I want to do, is I want to look at your comments also on the YouTube page. One thing that I did say in those removed episodes is that this is very important that you understand this, is that I don't have this program here to promote myself. Yes, my name is on the banner and everything like that, but this is not to promote me. This is to encourage you. It's to encourage you to get into the local church, to get involved. And I think it's best that we understand that the local church is supposed to support us in the sense of where we get fed, where we get the word of God. I'm not online to promote myself and to make a name for myself. And if that's the message that's getting across, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to move people forward into talking about the gospel and what that truly is God's transforming power in the heart of a repentant sinner. And that's why this program exists. It doesn't exist for me. I'm not here to make my name great. Yes, I want more people to watch what I'm promoting, and I'm promoting Jesus Christ. I want that. But it's not about putting my name in lights. It's not about that. I don't want my name in lights. I don't want my name to be plastered around everywhere. So please understand that. I urge you to support your local church. I've said this countless amount of times. If you've watched listen to my past programs, you would know that that's what I promote. And anyone that takes it the other way, I'm sorry, that's just not the truth. So going into the topic today, I hope I have all my web pages here because I had everything all set up and I think I lost them all. Maybe not. Well, I got some of them, so that's good. I got some of your comments here. And yeah, whatever I had up before, I definitely did lose. So that's not good. But nothing I can figure out real quick. If you don't mind, I will get into that right now. I'm going to the website that I made, which was thegodcastwithjoshfritz.com. If you go there, usually I have all the content that I provide of the podcast itself. And while that loads, we can look at your comments. Let's just do that. If you're not familiar with this page here, if you go to youtube.com and you type in my name, obviously I removed the title of the podcast before because YouTube did take my channel down before. So now it's just my name. Eventually I will bring it back to what it was. But lately I've been talking about here posting videos on Pastor James Coates from Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and what's been going on with him. At this juncture, as far as I know, he's supposed to be released. I'm thinking, based on the articles that I've read, tomorrow. Now, we hope and pray that that does happen. If you want to follow that yourself, I would highly recommend, if you have Instagram, you follow his wife, Erin Coates. That's usually who, she's very close to the situation, obviously, and she will usually often post on the status of what's going on with that. So, and actually, to bring you up to speed, if you haven't been watching, I will play this little clip of something that we need to be aware of. And I think I should do that. Let's see if we can do that.
Throughout the United States, we've seen Christian ministers harassed because they are Christian ministers and therefore disobedient. They serve a higher power. You haven't seen this happen to people who run abortion clinics or strip bars or marijuana dispensaries. Do you believe, and that's in this country, do you believe your husband was singled out because he's a Christian pastor?
Well, I have to believe that the enemy is singling him out. We have a real enemy who really hates the Lord Jesus Christ and really hates the blood-bought body that he purchased on the cross and has given new life to. Yes, we have an absolute real enemy, and he uses people to target the ministers of God. We know that through scripture. We know that through church history. And so I really believe that they are being targeted in our country.
I think a lot of people watching this who would have maybe dismissed what you just said a year ago are now maybe taking it a little bit more seriously. I appreciate your coming on. Your husband is blessed to have a wife like you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tucker.
So that was Pastor James Coates' wife, Erin Coates, on with Tucker Carlson. And she's right on, talking about the enemy. The enemy is Satan, obviously. We know that. Now, bear with me as I log into my webpage here. Looking at your comments, Bradley says, Lord bless, protect, and exalt this pastor. What the devil and his minions meant for evil, turn it for good. All for your glory. In Christ we pray. Bruce says, according to the video I just played, God's light, power, majesty, and grace will shine through all this darkness. Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That same video, some judges and politicians will use any pretense, any concocted excuse to shut up effective, faithful Christian ministers like Pastor James Coates. That is definitely true. More on this topic here. Betwixt and Between says, thanks for the update, praying for God's perfect timing. Walking in the Wilderness says, I had it right in front of me. She was something to say about Erin Coates. Erin Coates is a wonderful example of a godly woman. Praise God for their testimony of Jesus Christ at this hour. Let's see, what else do we have here? And same video. Charlotte says, God bless you, Erin. May the Lord free your husband, Pastor Coates, even as we speak in Jesus' name. So there's a prayer there. God bless the legal work through the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms and the petition so many souls signed through the rebel, on the pastor's behalf and your whole family. So there's prayers there as well. Someone says here, is anyone surprised? No. Shouldn't be. Lena says, thank you to me for updating. Continue to keep us posted. Yep, you're welcome. Any more comments I want to read here? The New Testament, it is a living word. So here we go. Thanks for the update. So yeah, as far as I know, that's the understanding. He's to be released very soon, hopefully tomorrow. There's a hearing tomorrow. That's got to take place. We should pray for that. Let me see if I've been able to log in here. All right, I think I'm almost there. Sometimes I have bandwidth problems, and this doesn't load up as much as I like it. You're seeing the guts of my website here, which is pretty interesting. Hopefully it comes up soon. Well, anyway, I was going to read 1 John, and I wanted to read that to you. Oh, here we go. I had drafts. There we go, drafts. That's what I want to go to. I'm going to post this soon. So now, if you know the song, I think it's by Hathaway, What is Love? Don't Hurt Me. I'm taking a word out of there, but it's basically like a dance song that came, from the late 80s or early 90s, and it's interesting because there's no answer to that question when you play that whole song. I'm not going to play it here, but basically, I'm reading you this blog post I haven't posted yet. These altered words are from a song that the world knows and often dances to, and the title is given to make you aware to actually find the answer to what is love. The song ends in a title without an answer, but I read somewhere that there is an answer. Hope remains. Keep reading. Love is defined explicitly and specifically in the pages of Holy Scripture. Love is personified in Jesus Christ as the ultimate expression of love by laying down, sacrificing, giving up his life for our sin, dying for his enemies voluntarily, substitutionary, and vicariously. When you start defining love, you have to start with God himself, who is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation, and that would be the appeasement of God's wrath for our sins. So he was just to, his wrath was satisfied in Jesus Christ on the cross, dying for our sin and bearing our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's 1 John 4, 7 through 11. As this chapter in 1 John goes, or as this chapter rather, it's chapter 4, without this love we cannot be children of God. Without the redemption through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have no capacity in our fallen nature before God to love properly, if then none at all. Which lies in the question, what is love? And what I started to do, and this is where I'm in the middle here of this blog post, and I want to maybe expand it a little here. Now that we've defined what it is, right, we're asking, you have to start with God, right? We know that God is love. It says that a few times in 1 John 4. We have to know that we must truly know what it means through the way God has worked. There are several words that appear in the Bible that express God's love for the saints. The saints' love for each other. And we know those two at the outset are agape, which is, and phileo. So phileo is more of a brotherly love. Agape is more of a love that's more godly in the sense that it comes from God. Phileo would be, we get the word Philadelphia from, brotherly love. And there are variant words. So there's different types of words. You have different tenses in the Greek in which this means. And what I'm going to do, hopefully in the weeks to come, I'm probably going to look into this a little bit more deeper. The word love in the Greek in the text above is agape. So what I just read to you is the word agape appears. And to my sadness, I had the word up on Bible Hub, and I want to see if I can get that up. See if I can find that, because I had this whole definition and everything up there. This is not a bad tool to use, by the way. If you're lacking on anything as far as books concerned, and I know I'm very limited myself, this is not a bad tool to use. You pretty much get everything in here. You get the Strong's Concordance, you get the Interlinear, you get a lot of the versions of the Bible, obviously, and different concordances you can look at. Very, very helpful tools here. Now, let me just... This is what I just did before, and I had this all set up. And I wanted to make sure that we... I wanted to read it out to you properly. Yeah, no, see, this is not what I had up here. There's one other way I could do this. That's one way. Let's see if I go here. No. Yeah, this is not helping me. Because usually... Let's see if this works. I don't like... I was prepared, and for some reason I hit the wrong button, and then it like wiped everything out. Here we go. This actually might work. Okay, good. All right, this is the screen I want. You see here, when I'm looking at 1 John 4:7... There's the word right there, 26. So Strong's Concordance, in fact, my laptop right now that I'm streaming this off is sitting on my physical Strong's Concordance. I have it right here below me. You look this word up, and this is the screen that I had it on. I know for sure that I did. You have 116 occurrences here where this word appears. And to me, that's amazing, where you can go through all of these scriptures. This is the Englishman's Concordance. It'll tell you where it's coming from, Matthew 24, John 15. It's where he says, the love of many will grow cold. That's speaking eschatologically. John 15:9, you have another variant here in which he says here, abide in my love. So very, very interesting text here that you can use. Romans 5:5, because the love of God, you know, he died for us when we were his enemies, yet he loved us in that regard. Romans 13:10, love to the neighbor. So very, very useful tool here. There are this particular word that I'm reading is our 116 occurrences. So there's different variants that you can read. You just click on one of these, and this very helpful tool for you to use. It'll give you all the information that you need off of it. So these 64 occurrences are the ones I just started to read to you. And you can see the support that you find. Building it's up in love. You read that in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 5, walk in love. Philippians 1:9, I pray that your love may abound. Speaking the truth in love, looking at Ephesians 4:15. So every time you take a word, you can actually do a word study, and you'll find out where these words appear and how they relate to you or how they relate to who God is and his love. So I thought that was a really good tool to look at. But I want to read to you also chapter 3 in 1 John. That's what I wanted to do. And I want you to just pay attention to these words as you hear them. So I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. See how great a love the Father has given to us that we would be called children of God. And we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been made manifest as yet what we will be. We know that when he is manifested, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who does sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or has come to know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does sin is of the devil, because the devil sins from the beginning. The Son of God was manifested for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, I would take that issue with that in the sense of if you people have twisted the scripture to say that they go into sinless perfection, and I don't subscribe to that. This is an avenue in which we understand of practicing sin. There's not a habitual practice of sin here. Just look at Romans 6 for that, and 7 and 8 for that matter, but mainly Romans 6 is the same principle being laid out. We die to sin, right? By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested, so they appear, right? They're made known. Everyone who does not do righteousness is not of God. So you can take that as sin practicers, right? As well as the one who does not love his brother. So one that doesn't do righteousness, one that habitually sins and doesn't love the brethren, right? That's what this is saying. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother and killed Abel. And for that reason did he slay him, and because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. So that's evidence of a true saint, one that loves the brothers, or loves the sisters, we can say, right? The one that does not love abides in death. So if you don't love the brethren, you're remaining in death. That's a problem. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So John here is likening that to murder. If you hate your brother, it's just like you're going to kill him. That's a problem. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we have known love. And this is important. This is what I posted this verse maybe last week on my thread here. 1 John, everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Right? We know that verse. Everybody knows that verse, loves that verse. 1 John 3:16, though, is like it almost like elevates this to another level here as far as I see it and how I read it. By this we have known love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Think about that. He laid down his life for us so that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's the type of love that we should have for each other, right? The same love that the Lord had for us. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Since this is just in practical life and practical living, right? You help your brother. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Words mean very little when it comes to true love. It's by action. And by this we will know, you're going to know this, that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he gave a commandment to us. So, believing in Jesus Christ and loving the brethren actually go one and one with each other. They go hand in hand. If you say you're going to love the Lord, you're going to follow his commandments, right? You're going to follow his precepts. Not that that achieves for any type of salvation, but it's already the work of God in you. It's the evidence of God in you that brings you to that point and says, I'm going to help my neighbor. I'm going to help my brother in the faith. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he gave a commandment to us. And the one who keeps his commandments abides or remains, right? That's the word. And he in him. We know this by that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he gave us. And if you look in Ephesians, you'll read about the Holy Spirit being given to us as believers as a deposit, as a down payment in our lives. The residing of the Holy Spirit is also the evidence of a true believer. The conviction that comes over us, right? thinking of John 17:17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, and how the Holy Spirit would come and sanctify us by the truth. His word is the truth. So that's the end of chapter 3. Now we're getting into chapter 4, up into the point where I just read earlier. So, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. There is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world hears them. We are from God. The one who knows God hears us, and the one who is not from God does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, back into that text I read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So if you're born of God today, if you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if you've been saved, if you've been born from above, called by God, you're going to love your brother in the faith. You're going to love your sister in the faith. You're going to do all that you can because of God's love for you in your life. You're going to reciprocate that love back towards God, but you're also going to do that horizontally with each other. That's the evidence of a believer, a love that doesn't die out or end. The one who does not love does not know God. See, that's a problem. If you have a problem loving your brother or sister in the faith, it's a big question mark. Do you know the Lord? That's important. The one who does not love does not know God. We can know about God. We can know all the facts. And listen, I've asked myself this question too. If I've had a problem loving somebody, I have to confess and repent of that. I feel like I've failed. I've failed at times for sure in this regard. And you have to realize that because God's love for us drives us to fellowship. It drives us to helping one another. And I started a video I did a couple months ago on the one another's, and there's like many occurrences in fact, I just read a few of them to you, but in the New Testament, and I really should harp on that in my life to get that squared away, that we, is it the idea of community and fellowship with the local church is so highly important. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides and remains, and is his love is perfected in us. So by loving one another, by God abiding in us, remaining in us, his love is going to be perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. See, God is with us, right? The word Emmanuel, at the time the Lord came, was promised from Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall give birth. You can name the child Emmanuel. It's talking about the Lord. It means God's. The word means God is with us, and God is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. If you look in Hebrews 13. So we have the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. Another chapter you can read is Romans chapter 8, that speaks to the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Christian. In fact, let's read that. That'll be encouraging to look at. So looking at Romans 8, look at the first couple of the verses there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen, right? That's a blessing. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, in sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, walk, I would take, when you look at this word walk, it's your life, your Christian life. How do we walk? We have the Holy Spirit who is always with us every step of the way, every day, right? So very important we understand that. Here is important. I want you to listen to these next set of verses here. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. This is giving you a comparison here, or a difference maker, in saying that if your mind is set on the flesh, it's more than likely you're not a Christian, right? But can a Christian have their mind on the flesh sometimes? Yes, that's a problem. It's a sin principle in us, right? And if you look at Romans 7, it'll tell you that struggle, that sin, the sin that we have that bothers us, right? We want to do the right thing, we do the wrong thing, and we have to realize that we fall short of that. But it's the Holy Spirit that's in us that convicts us and moves us away from sin. And we want to do what's right. We want to please God. So what does the next verse say? Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. See, we're not hostile towards God. If you're a saint, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, your mind's not against God. You don't want to violate his precepts. You don't want to do the things that would grieve the Spirit of God, right? You want to do this. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. So the unsaved person is not able to subject itself to God. It's hostile. Verse 8 tells us the answer, and those who are in the flesh are not able to please God, so they're not able to. However, here's the answer, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, the Spirit of God has to dwell in us. Yes, we have a sin problem, but we know we have one who's faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sin, our unrighteousness. That's also found in 1 John, I think that's chapter 2. So, 1 John, you can flip between 1 John and Romans, and you'll get supporting text back and forth. It just goes and tells you that where the Apostle John was and where the Apostle Paul were, they were in the same vein of thinking. Why? Because they're brothers in the Lord. And they're our fathers in the faith, so to speak, because they've written down these truths. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you're led by the Holy Spirit to put to death the sin that's in you. Okay, so what does that tell you? That tells you God's love for you. That's what that tells you. God's love and his care for you. That you're being driven to put away sin, to put it to death, to mortify it, right? Mortify means put to death. That's what we want to do. That's what believers want to do. They want to get it out of their life. So it's a blessing to have that avenue to do that. So I have my children here. They're off to the side, and they're actually watching. The funny part is they're watching the podcast on the channel while they're next to me. I thought that was pretty interesting because I hear an echo behind me. So that's what I'm talking about today. What I want to do, if there is anybody watching, I'd like to interact. If not, that's fine. Let's look and see who's here. If anybody's here, we can talk. Steve says, good job. Thank you, Steve. Good to see you. What about on the YouTube side? You have anybody in there? Anybody in the comments on the YouTube side?
No.
No? Just you? There's one more person. I'm sure people will watch later. That's fine. And then that's when we'll interact. But on this program, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, emails, you can always email me at josh@thegodcastwithjoshfritz.com. You can always look there. You can always look at 631-209-7457. That's actually the hotline number. You call that, leave me a message. You can text me there. I've been talking to a few people on that platform via text and mainly via email. In fact, I've been going back and forth with somebody that's involved with the Julie Royce situation and the repeated attacks against Grace Community Church. You know who you are. I'm not going to name your name, but you need to email me back. We gotta talk about that. Maybe have you on here. That's the other thing too. This is the 96th episode that I've had, and I know I said I wanted somebody special on the 100th episode. I hope that person still takes my invite. I would like to have them on. But the 100th episode is going to be a blessing, I know for sure, because I'm about four away, and I do want to talk about biblical issues and things like that, in which we just get the message out there and get the gospel out there. And first off, with the gospel, as I close this, getting the gospel out there is very important, but also getting your right sense of framework in your mind of what that's all about and what that entails. You got to know the bad news. The bad news is that we are all sinners. And without Jesus Christ, we are men most pitied. And if Jesus did not go to the cross, give up his life, destroying the works of the devil, as I read earlier, I read that in 1 John, taking on our sin and bearing our sin, his body on the tree, we wouldn't know what deliverance from sin in our lives would be like. We wouldn't be able to live the Christian life. We're able to live the Christian life, frankly, because of the grace and the mercy of God poured out on us. Grace is God's riches expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. His shed blood on the cross allow us to be redeemed. He calls us to himself. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, and yet we're held responsible for our sin. And the reason why I say that is that that's the bad news. If without repentance, without believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on the way to eternal hell. And I don't want that for you. I want you to understand that the Word of God is an open book for you to read. And there's invitations in the Word of God. One particular chapter you can look at is Isaiah 55. There's an invitation there. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. In fact, we just went through that in the church I'm attending now. We just went through that particular scripture. And there Jesus is speaking to the crowds and the disciples and those who are being burdened down by the religious teachers of the law, who are burdening them down with all their regulations and the law and all types of mannerisms where the law is being extended. And he says, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." And that scripture, I know I'm not quoting the full scripture, but I know for sure that when the Lord invites us to him, we have a responsibility to respond to that. And I urge you to always go to the scripture to find your answers. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And the gospel, the good news is that he did come. The good news is that he did defeat death. The good news is that he did take upon our sin, nailed it to the cross, and thus we've been forgiven. What a great burden. What a great lifting off of our shoulders that gospel message is. And how do we know that? He was raised to life. In fact, you read in the Bible that Jesus raised himself from the dead. The Spirit of God raised him from the dead. And God the Father raised him from the dead. You read those. There's three specific scriptures. I don't know them. I know they're in the scripture. They're in the New Testament. And we believe the gift of faith has been given to us. And my verse that brought me to the Lord was Ephesians 2:8. And that verse reads this way: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." The grace of God is a great blessing to know that God doesn't punish us as we deserve. Mercy, his mercy has been poured out on us. And it's a great blessing to have, to know that and to feel that, and to know that one day we will look at the one that we love right? First Peter talks about that. We're going to see the one that we love, and that's a blessing. We don't see him now, but we will one day. These eyes will be able to see the Lord. Right now they can't, but we see him now in the pages of Scripture. We see him now in the lives of people that we interact with that are our brothers and sisters in the faith. We see their attention towards the Scripture. We see their attention toward the brother who's in error or the who needs a helping hand. And we see the Lord's work in a pastor who labors over the Scripture and wants to get the message out there. And that's where we see our Lord. But these eyes right now, no. Face to face, there's an old hymn that speaks to that. We will see our Lord face to face one day. And let me tell you, that's going to be a great day. We're going to hit the deck, but we're going to be able to talk to him. We're going to be able to look at the one who saved us. And I look forward to that day. And that's the good news. The good news is that the world is passing away, but everything that's going on in this world, it's going to go. But what's your eternity looking like? What's your eternity looking like? If you're going to die without your sins, with your sins unconfessed and unrepented of, you know, God has every right to punish those sins and put you in hell, and nobody wants that. And that's not. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to say that. I'm here to remind you that it's urgent that you realize that today is the day of salvation. Look to the Scripture. Check out what I'm saying. You know, am I saying the right thing? You know, everything that I'm telling you, I'm quoting you. Go look at it yourself. Go into that Scripture and find. This is what I need. I need that answer to my life. The answer is Jesus Christ. You need Christ, and I can't tell you to stop sinning. I can't make you stop sinning, but the blessing is that God can do that, all that for you just by embracing Jesus Christ, looking in the Bible and seeing a sinless man come from heaven down to here on this earth, live a life that's perfect and took the punishment for our sin. Trust in him today. You'll never be disappointed. With that, thank you so much for watching. If you want to interact, again, take all that information I shared with you earlier. Please share this video. If you're on Facebook, share it. If you're on YouTube, share it. Like, subscribe. And we'll see you here next time on the Godcast. This has been episode 96. I'll take your questions, comments, concerns, and we'll talk about them. God bless you guys. I'm back.
12 first and then 10, 17, it's a surety. God's going to forget our bad deeds. How will you know? Plants here in Romans 8, told you straight from the start. God put a spirit there in your heart, baby. Don't you go fret about these. Don't. He's going to forget about these. Cause he was there.
True.